Well, hello everybody out there,
Music Video Land, and welcome to another episode of the IMVDB Music Video Land podcast, brought to you by your super good friends at IMVDB.com, the Internet Music Video Database. My name is Adam, of the Internet Music Video Database, and with me as always is Mr. New York resident, soon-to-be New York resident, Douglas Klinger. How are you doing, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. I'm wearing a weird cutoff shirt right now. It's cut off on the sleeves.
Good. That's actually by law that you have to do that, so you're going to have to read up on that. I think they give you a pamphlet when you enter Brooklyn.
Right, even though I'm still in Florida, but it's cool. It was to commemorate Florida.
Right, true. Okay, well, yep. Florida laws are a little bit more lax. And also with us north of the wall, we have Mr. Whisper / Mr. Tim Hortons, Adam Alexander of Fringe Music Fix. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm incredible tonight.
Whoa.
And Mr. Incredible, too.
Damn. All right, well, usually we get incoherent mumbles are incredible from Adam, so it's an incredible night. And we're continuing our streak of really awesome guests on the podcast, because this week we have Jenna and Trip Watt of Watts. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey.
Hi.
And we are having you on the podcast on a really good week, because this week you guys released a pretty amazing video for Ropes by Annie Eve, which we'll talk about. But if you go to the show notes for this podcast, you'll see a link to all of Watts' videos, including Love and War by Metro Station, Time Has Come by Bayside, and Love Sublime by Ten Snake. So I want to talk a little bit about this Ropes video by Annie Eve. So this kind of fits into the category of, I don't want to say category, but it is one of those videos that has kind of like a backwards motion theme to it. But you guys don't really do any sort of the conventional things with it. You guys have a completely different take on it. So I wanted to ask you guys where this concept came from, and kind of how you pitched it to Annie Eve.
Yeah.
Great. Trip, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, to be completely blunt, I wish I had like a really like cool answer for that. I guess to be totally blunt, I guess at the time we had written a couple of treatments that were, we were kind of on like a little like rejection streak for like three in a row, and then we got in the Annie Eve track, and we heard that song, and we were like, oh my god, this is incredible. We really liked the track a lot, and we read the title of it, Ropes, and we were like, you know what, like after like our few kind of like obscure treatments that were, you know, kind of like rejected, we were like, we should just pitch something that is completely based around the title of the song. And so we just thought about ropes like the whole time. We were like, all right, what is the idea that we can come up with revolving around ropes? And we kind of like started with a spider diagram of, you know, ropes, and just kind of started listing all these different ideas that we could do around ropes. And we kind of went all over the place for a little bit. But I'm trying to think about how we
kind of decided on the gym rope, and we were like, let's do a kind of 70s style gym rope. And then we kind of went dark for a second, which they didn't really like. And then we took it down a notch and came up with what we came up with.
Not that I feel like
I don't really think it's really dark. It's sort of dark. So
it could get darker.
Did the label want you to make it, or the artist kind of make you tone down the darkness a little bit?
Yeah, we had a different idea a little bit. So then they wanted to tone that down and change it up. So we came up with the girl leaking black ooze.
Not that that's like less dark. It's still pretty dark. But yeah, I mean, I guess just the answer was that, yeah, we were like, let's just see what happens if we just pitch something that's completely based off of the song title. And it was funny because like, it was like a couple days later, they like wrote back and they were like really into it. So we were just kind of laughing about it, but then we were really pumped to take it on because it's really retro.
And climbing a rope in gym class is kind of like one of those like classic cinematic moments that you see in a lot of like 70s TV shows and movies and stuff, but it's not something, at least personally, that I ever had to do in gym class, thank goodness, because
you're a lucky man.
I never in my life would be able to do that at any at any point. I mean,
yeah.
Adam's known me since I was like in seventh grade, and even then had no athletic ability to climb up a rope. So I'm assuming you guys have firsthand experience of this process?
Tripp did, because he grew up in America, but I definitely did not.
Yeah, Jenna grew up in South Africa, so they kind of...
We don't climb ropes.
They don't climb ropes in gym class. But yeah, I grew up in the South, and yeah, we definitely had to... We had many, like, they would stand there with a clipboard and kind of, like, grade us on how, you know, how fast we could get to the top. So that was... Yeah, I just kind of, like, kind of went back to that memory of having to awkwardly do that in front of our entire gym class and having, you know, a gym teacher standing there with the whistle and the stopwatch grading us on it.
And like I mentioned, the backwards motion of this, which is, because we're kind of coming off of, I don't know if we've talked about this in the podcast before, we're coming off of a decade of like using backwards motion in music videos to kind of reveal plot points, like the Coldplay, the Scientist music video, and like most recently is the best example is Ellis Ball's Alt-J Breeze Blocks video. And in the ropes video, it's not to kind of unveil a plot point. It kind of it seems to just add to the mystery of it. Can you talk about why you wanted to use that backwards motion effect?
Yeah, mostly we wanted to use it because we thought it would look really amazing to have a girl start out completely covered in black liquid and, like, you know, how she got there and why she got there and have it leak back up into her, and then kind of reveal that she's, like, this cheerleader, that why would a cheerleader be covered in black? That was kind of, like, sort of a superpower, I guess, that we thought of that's not really a superpower, kind of something that's
anti-superpower.
Yeah. So, we really wanted to actually just have something that's really weird, like, start out on screen that's totally, like, out of the norm, and then kind of bring it back out into, like, a high school and, like, have her be revealed in the end.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of, like, starting out with, like, something, and then you're kind of, like, you know, like, something kind of striking, and then, like, wondering how, you know, how, what events led to get, you know, the character there. I also, we kind of, when we were writing the treatment for this one, I kind of liked the idea that, like, in the end of the song, it's, you know, it's such an epic, like, climax of the song that at the end of it, it was kind of like, it was almost kind of like an anti-climax in the fact that, like, there's no black on her anymore. She's just kind of, like, convulsing on the floor. It's not like there's a bunch of effects and a bunch of crazy shit going on, but it's kind of, like, almost the opposite. You know, you're almost, like, switching things, like, visually, and then, you know, with the audio. So it's, like, in the beginning, you have this, like, crazy makeup and crazy effects, and then at the end, it's pretty simple when the song gets all crazy. So I guess that was something that we were kind of interested in the beginning. But, yeah, I guess that's kind of how we thought about it.
Yep.
And what did you guys use for the black goo?
It was actually glycerin dyed black with food coloring.
What's glycerin?
Glycerin is
very useful. I don't even know what it's made of. I know you can make bombs out of it when you go. We went to CVS in LA at like 3 a.m. and bought like a whole bunch of it.
Yeah.
And, like, in our PJs, and they were like, gave us the weirdest looks buying it, because I guess you can build bombs out of it. I think if you watch Fight Club, they buy a bunch of glycerin.
They do.
Or some shit. Yeah,
they do. But I think you can use it for soap, right?
Yeah, making soap.
Making soap.
Yeah.
There's a lot of uses for glycerin. It's like a gel.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, and it runs really. Okay, well, we actually used a bunch of different things for the black, because the last thing when she's totally covered was flour, water, and black dye, which is disgusting. We poured it all over that poor girl. It was so gross. But then the glycerin was the first stuff that goes on her, because it rolls really nicely on the skin.
Yeah, rolls slowly. Yeah, the stuff that's, like, totally covering her in the beginning of the video is, it's essentially just homemade non-toxic finger paint. So it's, like, flour and sugar and water. It's this weird concoction. Then you use, like, food coloring to dye it black. But it's non-toxic, and it's great because it's really black, and then you add glycerin to it to make it kind of shiny. but it starts to like stink after a little bit because it's got like sugar in it. And so like, Jesus, I just, I have so much respect for Sarah Stunn, our actress, because she was like swallowing this like just horrendously smelling goop and was just totally cool with it. And she like, while holding on to a gym rope that was like burning her, like just chafing all the skin off of her thighs.
Yeah, she was pretty great.
Yeah, she was super rad.
How did you find her originally?
So we've actually worked with her on a previous video. It was the Moon Taxi video. So we worked with her on that, and then she auditioned for the ropes video. So we just really, we really love her, and she has such a great presence on screen. So
yeah,
wanted totally to use her again.
Yeah, it's we actually held like a huge casting call for it and went through through a lot of great actresses that came out. But yeah, at the end of the day, we just
imagine Sarah.
We were both like thinking of Sarah the whole time, but hadn't even thought to call her out to the casting call. And we were like, oh my god! And we called her up, and she sent us like a video.
Audition, yeah.
And yeah, it was great. So,
what was on the video audition?
It was her throwing up black goo.
and yeah, after I asked that question, I was like, if only there was a site that listed people's credits on music videos, and you can see what other videos they had been in. I can see here she was on the new Black Moon Taxi, and also in Collect Call by Metric, directed by Christopher Mills.
She was, yeah, she's a pretty great actress.
Going back a little bit to the reverse stuff that we were talking about, there's all these moments where you kind of focus on people in the kind of in the stands and stuff, and there's like every time I watch this video, I'm still surprised by the backwards effect, and then I'm reminded like, oh yeah, that's backwards, that's why those headphones floated back up to his ear. And I'm curious, did you guys like know ahead of time what you were going to focus on with these people, and did you kind of hope that it was going to have the impact that it had?
Yeah, we did know what they were going to be doing beforehand. We definitely knew about the girl that was going to be the coach, because I think he's one of my favorites. And the jump rope guy. And then I don't know if you noticed, but John Like was the guy that had his shoe on fire.
Yeah. Oh yeah, somebody who's been on this podcast before.
He has.
Yeah, he's a good friend of ours. He was in the Washed Out videos. Phenomenal, and David Altobello's videos.
So I feel like we definitely knew that the people in the stands, we definitely wanted them to have a certain, just a small movement that was really going to show that the video was going, I guess kind of accent that the video was going backwards. I'm glad that you like that.
Yeah, I think we ended up throwing like the bear that's like taking off its head. That was just one of the production assistants. The jump roper was a production assistant. I like gave him a pair of shorts and was like, jump in there, you know. Like even the guy with the headphones was another production assistant. Like it was very it was pretty low budget, so we kind of had to like
throw everybody in it,
figure things out, you know, as they kind of rolled out.
That's serious. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Doug.
I was just going to talk about the visual effects trip. That was you, right? The at the beginning of the video.
That's right.
And so, what kind of like what was the kind of approach to that thing? Did you like, was that all shot green screen? How did that work out?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a funny story. We actually, the track was. You know, we really liked the track and we really liked our idea that we pitched. The budget was very low for this video, but we kind of realized early on the only way we were going to actually be able to see this video happen was if we produced it as well. So we ended up producing and directing it, which is pretty brutal but fun. So we actually, on the shoot date, the production house we rented all the equipment from ended up delivering everything like an hour and a half late. So we started out an hour and a half late, which was like brutal at the time. And then, you know, we were shooting. Then we got up to the last thing we were going to film on the second half of the day was all the it was all the blue screen shots because she's wearing a green uniform. And the crew went in and started unpacking everything, you know, unpacking for the blue screen shot. And we realized that we had a green screen. We got delivered a green screen. And it was a Sunday, so the house actually wasn't technically open that day. So it was, oh my God, man, it was a crazy nightmare trying to get a hold of people to get a blue screen out. So it was, we were originally supposed to shoot a lot of the stuff actually outside of the location to get some, like, you know, like some stuff, like, you know, in the actual environment. But just with timing and everything, we ended up shooting everything on blue screen, and I'm actually...
Well, we ended up shooting it on green screen, and we had to rotoscope some stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, you just kind of make do. We shot some on green screen as they were delivering the blue screen, and then when the blue screen got there, we shot the stuff we needed on blue screen, and ended up kind of doing the whole blue screen thing for the beginning of it, which I'm actually... At the time, I was really stressed out about it, but now I feel like it kind of worked out.
Yeah, and Tripp actually filmed the scenes where what she's green screened onto. He went out and filmed those mountainscapes and everything, and he got terrible, terrible poison oak. He was covered for weeks.
Something.
It was so gross.
I think I was running around just, you know, with no time trying to film stuff with this rented camera, and I came back and I was editing for just not sleeping, editing.
And but I was
scratching the whole time, yeah. But I wasn't thinking about it. I was editing and scratching, and then I turned in the first cut, and then I looked at my legs and my body, and I was what the fuck has happened to me? I've got boils everywhere. I just hadn't noticed them. I was
gross.
In the zone.
Where did you shoot those outdoor scenes?
That was shot on a DSLR with a rented lens.
But where was it?
Oh, it was so we live in LA. We just drove. If you kind of just drive up the 2, 30 minutes north of where we live, it's just there's no cell phone service and it's all mountains. It's awesome.
It's great, but don't shoot there because you will get poison oak.
You will get poison oak.
I had been on a commercial shoot for 3 days, and I came home and I looked at Tripp was busy editing. He goes, "Something's wrong." And I looked at his face and it was just all swollen. I was like, "Oh my God, yes, something's wrong." It was so horrible.
I get too in the zone and I just don't even, just forget to eat, forget to shower, forget to poison ivy everywhere.
Adam, I was going to say something dumb about Adam Alexander.
You're going to say that Adam Alexander was chronic poison?
Chronic poison oak, something about that. I was going to put him on the spot, say he had a great poison oak story, see if he could come up with something. Oh, well, next time.
Well, I was going to ask, we were talking about this before we got on the call here, because you guys kind of have a, or maybe we just haven't found the correct information yet. We're wondering what your relationship to each other is, because you're Jenna Watt and Tripp Watt, yet you grew you grew up in the U.S. and South Africa. Could you just explain that relationship a little bit?
That's funny. That's what everyone always asks. It's a big mystery.
It is a big mystery.
We always joke that we're like the white stripes.
Exactly. I was going to say, you guys definitely have a Mag White, Jack White thing going on.
Yeah.
So Tripp and I are married. We started animating and working together in high school, so we've been together a long time.
Yeah.
I owe Adam Alexander $5.
Nice.
Because we were split on whether maybe you were exactly like Jack and Meg White, if you were siblings or if you were married, so there we go.
Yeah, that's hilarious. We met in high school, and then just... I was kind of getting into animation in senior year, and then Jenna and I started dating, and just, would take my dad's camera and go down to the basement and just start filming shit, doing little stop motion animations. We all of our early stuff is all stop motion, and then we kind of started getting into live action once we, kind of realized that stop motion is...
Very time consuming.
For most of the briefs that come our way would just not give us the time to do stop motion. I hope one day we'll get briefs that will give us more time. But yeah, we kind of moved into that realm, about a year ago, a couple years ago.
And one thing I wanted to ask you about on an unrelated to relationship note is you guys were one of the videos at Sprockets this year. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, sweet. Well, how'd you guys find out about Sprockets?
Well, I mean, I grew up in I've grown up in the South, like Tennessee and South Carolina and Georgia and Texas. I've kind of grown up all over those places. So Athens is a place that I've spent some time. The band that the video was for is for a band called Moon Taxi, and they're based out of Nashville. I've known about Sprockets for a couple of years now, and when we did that video, I just kind of thought it would fit for the festival, and you know, we submitted it and got in, which was cool for us.
Sweet. Yeah, I voted for you guys for the fan
oh,
vote.
Man.
Just so you know, it's just, you know, it's everybody in the audience who votes, so my vote is only worth one of, I mean, there was like, there's a bunch of people there.
That's incredible. Thank
but
you.
But I you guys got a vote, and so and now if Adam Fairholm says it, he's gonna seem like he just made it up.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I owe you $5 now.
No, it was a genuine vote.
Lots of fivers exchanging hands.
$5 going all around this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. we are both at Sprockets, and as soon as, because the name Watts is so memorable, as soon as they came up on the screen, I was like, oh, I know that name like really well, which was awesome. So,
great.
Good to know. That's very good to know.
It's kind of got the. You guys are familiar with the Daniels?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You guys are like the last name version of the Daniels, where the Daniels are the first name.
That's true.
I feel like the Daniels. I feel like I've never actually had a conversation with them, but I've been at numerous parties and like after parties, where I'll look over, like everyone will be like dancing or something, or like everyone will be hanging out, and one of the Daniels is just dancing all by themselves, like just,
well, like,
just totally
out.
Dancing.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is that guy doing over there? Oh, it's one of the Daniels.
Yeah. And
it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And it'd probably be the exact dance moves from Turn Down for What, too.
Like, take
it directly from the dance floor and put it into that music video. Sweet.
Yeah, I think in terms of like Daniel's interactions, my only one has been trying to find an ATM in one of the South by Southwest venues with one of the Daniels. So yeah, I think of all the Daniel stories, I've got the most boring one.
Yeah. Oh.
Because it doesn't even end happily. We did it. Nobody found an ATM.
No ATMs, and all the food trucks only took cash.
It's stupid. Yeah. Stupid cash only food trucks. That's a good cash only food trucks.
I feel like that's like every story of South by Southwest. It's just like wandering around, like not really knowing what you're doing. I feel like that every time I've gone, it's like just not knowing where I'm going. I don't know.
That's my whole life, but also there, so sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll just say, every time I've gone to South by, I've slept in my car, so
Nice. Should we chat about some of these music videos that came out this week? Other than the Ropes video, there was a few others.
Yeah, well, actually, one more thing I wanted to ask, because you guys mentioned you were on a streak of kind of not being able to do videos, and then this Ropes video came along, and it's gotten a lot of positive press. Has that kind of spurred your interest a little bit more in the music video format?
I mean, I'm pretty much always interested in the music video format. I'll pretty much write on. I mean, we like writing on anything.
Yeah,
you know,
we write a lot.
Even if it's like something that doesn't. You know, if we're like, oh, well, this wouldn't really be like, if they looked at our, you know, if the label looked at our videos and there's no way that they would hire us to do it, we'll still write on it just because it's, I don't know, we're pretty much down for trying anything, which is always fun. But,
would you be down for writing on Grindin' by Lil Wayne featuring Drake?
Grindin' by Lil Wayne.
Yes!
Yeah, I mean,
that's
cool. Lil Wayne's a very interesting character.
Doug mentioned, there, we'll talk about a few other music videos from this week, and this has been a super weird week. Our list of videos has some really fucked up stuff in it. But we should mention that if you want to go to the show notes, go to imvdb.com/podcast. This is episode 125, and we'll have all the links, including the Watts page on IMVDB, where you can see the ropes video, as well as many others. And if you go to your profile, you guys have taken out, you guys have managed your profile, and you have tons of links on there, which is awesome.
Oh, good.
Including your website, Twitter, Facebook, many other things. But yeah, like I mentioned, there are a lot of, and this is at the point of the podcast where we bring Adam Alexander back into the fray. Adam, yeah. Are you doing all right, Adam?
I think I'm all right, yeah.
How many whiskeys did you have during that interview?
All of the whiskey.
Had all the whiskey. All of the Trader Joe's whiskeys.
Yeah, I really want to. So in my Trader Joe's, you can only buy beer and wine. I'm super interested to go to a Trader Joe's and walk out with a bottle of Trader Joe's branded whiskey, because literally everything in my household is branded Trader Joe's except for the whiskey. So
now it's important. It's important to remind everyone that we talked about Trader Joe's whiskey before we were recording this podcast. So anybody listening to this has got no idea what we're talking about. They're on board with it because everyone loves Trader Joe's whiskey, I would assume. And so, but yeah, no one has a reference for that. So in case you're wondering, listeners, we were talking about Trader Joe's whiskey before, and now you know, and now they're up to speed. That's not really related to this grinding video. I don't think there was probably some alcohol on tour with Lil Wayne and Drake. They went on tour together. Past few months, but I don't think they were rocking Trader Joe's whiskey on tour with them.
I would hope not.
Allow me to intro this video a little bit, because we're going to be talking about a few videos on this podcast episode, but this video has a special place in my heart because it is a tour video, I guess would be charitable, to call it that, following Lil Wayne featuring Drake on this track about grinding. So it is kind of appropriate that it is a tour video, but it is directed by DJ Scoob Doo, and this is one of those directors who, if you're deep into music video world, you might be familiar with. He has done a number of these videos in this style, including probably most popularly Did It On Him by Nicki Minaj in 2011.
Very, very famous Nicki Minaj video.
Yeah.
Which one did he do by Nicki Minaj?
Well, you've never heard of it, definitely. Because I did not before looking at his
profile. Oh, I really did. It's famous in my heart. It's called Did It On Him. It's she brags.
Okay.
She brags a lot in the song, and she's, you know, I did it on him is kind of how she says it.
Yeah.
To give it some context. I think at one point she rhymes with shit it on him. It seems like it fits. I don't remember specifically, but he does these tour videos.
But this music video is a like mishmash of all sorts of crazy shit, and like midway through it you're wondering if it's even an official video. It's that crazy. But I know Doug is not a fan of
a lot of weird
what
huh a lot of weird a lot of weird stock footage mixed in, let's not forget that.
Or yeah, and like title kind of like preset, or maybe I don't know if it's preset, but like a lot of titles. There's like maybe four or five title sequences in this.
They can't land on an aspect ratio.
No.
There's all over the place with that.
But are you guys? I mean, I'm a Lil Wayne fan from the 2008 era. I know Doug is not. Are you guys Lil Wayne fans?
You know, honestly, I've not really listened to much of his stuff, but. So I feel like I don't really have like the best opinion on it, but I don't know. There's something about that dude that I remember reading some interview about him that he, like, whenever he's getting inspiration for his albums, he just goes to like Amsterdam and like holes up in a hotel and like smokes a whole bunch of weed for like, you know, 3 weeks and just writes everything. And I remember reading that and being like, that's kind of interesting. Like, that's kind of cool. I could see that if I was like a musician, like doing something like that, but I don't know. I've never really listened to his speech. I've never listened to much of his stuff.
It's a relatable thing though that he has like an actual process and it isn't like that's interesting that you were drawn to that, because yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But the I don't know if there was that same process to put behind this music video. This seems like a lot of footage thrown in and then they put some smoke in front of it.
Well, if you are a fan of the 2008 era Lil Wayne, you may remember a documentary called The Carter, which follows him on his tour for probably his biggest album, The Carter 3, released in 2008. This has a lot of kind of similarities with it, and it also reminded me of the Jay-Z Kanye West video for I don't know, N-words in Paris or whatever, however you say
right.
it, which has much higher production values, but kind of mixes this kind of recorded track with live rap performance. And also, in all these videos, they always feature the audience members, but it always feels like the audience is made up exclusively of 22-year-old white girls.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, very true.
Yeah, they find them in the audience. Well, to be fair, they probably make up a large portion of the audience. They're not few and far between and anywhere.
Well, I would also like to point your attention to, and I'm sending this to you guys over Skype here. There, in like midway through the video, there is an interstitial that has the title, but also has these like cartoon drawings of Lil Wayne and Drake, which is to me the most salient point of the video. And I'm just gonna wait for this to load because I want everybody to see this.
It's worth it.
I want you guys to kind of look it in the eye.
It's also at 2:55. If because anyone watching this didn't get the file that Adam just sent,
or it'll be in the show notes as well. You can link it up.
Okay, there. But 2:55. You know what it reminds me of, Adam, is our is the cartoon that that Dom did for us with the Cameron Duddy story.
Sure, yeah, we'll link to that as well.
We'll link to that in the show notes, because this is just like that. And if you like this but better, watch our stuff. So yeah, this video is weird. I put it on here because of that. Because I didn't like it. Adam Alexander.
Yes?
Who's your favorite, Drake or Lil Wayne?
You know, probably Drake. Lil Wayne's got some jams.
I too like Drake better. I'm a new fan of Drake's. I haven't always been, but I like Drake now. He brags a lot, and I relate to that. Let's move on to Bo Burnham repeat stuff. How about it? You guys, is everyone cool with that?
I thought it was killer.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah, see, I'm on that team. I don't think the Adams are with us. Adams, you guys didn't like this video?
Well, hold on.
For reasons, though.
But hold on, before we... For anybody who hasn't seen it, we should explain about the video a little bit. So this is Bo Burnham. If you remember many, many podcast episodes ago, like podcasts...
Like hundreds of episodes ago,
we had Duncan Skiles on the podcast, who directed one of Bo Burnham's first official music videos for Words, 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 off of his Words, Words, Words album.
It's basically Bo Burnham's first music video that like wasn't self-shot in his bedroom.
Right. And since then, Bo Burnham has done a ton of stuff. He's written a book of poetry, I believe. He's done a lot of cool stuff on Vine. And now he has this repeat sub video, which is sort of a parody, I guess, of the kind of Justin Bieber One Direction videos.
You guess this is a parody of Justin? He does a flawless... A flawless Justin Bieber impersonation in this video. And you're guessing that it's Justin Bieber. He's got the mannerisms down so perfectly. And this is a music video that we staff picked over here. And for me, it was largely on the merits of that impersonation, because it's remarkable how well he got those mannerisms down. And he's got the kind of blondish hair look to him. You know, he kind of fits into this world a little bit. And we should mention, this comes from Bo Burnham's album What, which is a stand-up album, but then has some music at the end of it, kind of like Jimmy Fallon used to do, for all you Jimmy Fallon fans.
But Jenna and Tripp, I'm interested what you guys like what you guys thought of this video, both from like a technical perspective and a content perspective.
I personally I liked it once the satanic messages came into it.
Yeah. when those visuals came over, we were like, yeah.
Yeah, the like satanic dubbing and stuff, and that was when I was immediately like, oh shit, I like where this is going.
Yeah, they did something a little different. I like that.
I don't know, it spoke to me, I guess.
Yeah, because there is stuff like this out there, right? But that not with those elements.
Yeah, because it wasn't like total. I mean, like if it was just total parody of like somebody playing the whole like boy band scenario, like I get it. But I don't know. I liked how it started taking this like super dark turn, and then near the end of it, he was like, I think he had some like contacts in or something.
Yeah,
and
he
like,
he did.
Was playing this like satanic character. I just kind of liked how that sort of got brought into it. But yeah, and I think it's a good way of like, you know, they did a good job of making a song that, like, I mean, you would, I don't know, I can't imagine ever driving around listening to a song like that, but, like, I definitely watched the whole video.
We did watch the whole video, yeah. So it was great.
Yeah.
Listen to this song while driving, and to South by Southwest, so lots of connections. But sometimes you listen to weird stuff when you go on long road trips. Another element I really liked about it is the ending, where he literally, like, sneaks into a girl's room and like tears her heart out. That's that's pretty fucked up. Like, it gets it gets super dark. So yeah, you get a payoff for sticking around all 5 minutes. So what didn't the Adams like about it?
Well,
My thing, basically, I knew the song, I'd watched the stand-up, and I really like Bo Burnham, and if I had to visualize a video that would go along with this song, it would be exactly this, and I think that's where I've just felt a little underwhelmed, because I knew the Satan bits, like, if you were to put them in a video, it would probably be something like what they did, so that was, for me, a little underwhelmed. I thought could have been a little different, but... still good. I didn't hate it.
So, from this Adam's perspective, so my kind of beef with Bo Burnham is that he tends to get very super sincere to the point of uncomfortableness. And I know that's kind of part of his stand-up act, where, you know, it kind of veers into, like, social commentary and everybody kind of gets a little bit uncomfortable. And I think he definitely kind of revels in that. But I think this is just this kind of veers on a little bit too sincere for me. And like something that is along the same lines, but I think is a little bit more successful in this, is the song that never had a music video, but is basically the same idea. And that's a song called Pop Song by Jean Lajoie, which we'll link to in the show notes. And it's basically the same thing, kind of like talking about how the song that they're currently singing is a pop song, and here are the different kind of contrived elements. I just, for some reason, it just kind of didn't get to a place where I felt like they were doing anything kind of new with the format. And Bo Burnham kind of negatively works against that with his constant need to be earnest, and you see that in, like, the heart kind of scene. There, he always kind of tends toward these, like, really super visual, like, literal metaphors. But anyway, that's just the Adams. You don't have to listen to the Adams.
No, you definitely don't have to listen to the Adams. But that is an interesting point about Bo Burnham's earnestness. Now, I am one who is drawn to that, but it is definitely something that he's doing consciously, and he does, like, there is, like, an. It's not just like, I'm making fun of pop songs. Like, he is kind of making an underlying message that, like, corporations are taking advantage of us through this, taking advantage of kids through this type of stuff. But I'm cool with having that extra message in there. I'm on board with it. And so are 500,000 people. So how can they be wrong? Let's move on to Pup Mabu. Adam Alexander was very enthusiastic about this video this week, so I'm going to have Adam Alexander tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. I love this video. Pup's a cool band from Toronto. They're kind of they're punk. They're a punk band. And this video, basically, the setup is one of the members is going to take a car that I'm assuming was a family vehicle, because he mentions that him and his sister both had some attachment to this vehicle. And I guess the car is on its last limbs, and they're going to trash it and then bring it into a derby and just have it just demolished. And that's what they do. They first they just do crazy shit, like pour cereal in the trunk and throw TVs at it. And then they take it out to the Destruction Derby, and the member, I actually kind of thought that was cool how he actually drove it and as it was getting demolished, and then they have a funeral for the car, and I thought it was a hilarious video, really good.
And I think
I
think they smash it going in. I think you need to kind of do that for the Demolition Derby. I think it's very important. I was initially. Didn't think I was going to like this video as much as I did. And it's also important to note that he comes in second place with this car. The song is written about the car. And he comes in second place, and it's, like, very... it is like a very epic ending for this car, and he like screams "I love you" right before a car, another car, like zooms into it, and you think everyone's gonna die, and it was just like a very vicious the way the dude's getting smashed up in this car. Like you could tell he was not having fun driving this car around this derby, and I just like the kind of genuineness of everything. Like it really felt like they cared for this car a lot, and like. Enough to first write a song about it and then kind of give it this kind of funeral by music video. So yeah, I really liked this and was super drawn to that stuff.
I will present the opposing viewpoint. I don't know. So first of all, was anybody else disturbed by the fact that they were keeping live animals in their derby car?
Oh, I was wondering at the end when they took the gecko out of it, but they didn't take any turtles out.
Yeah, what happened to the turtles?
Okay,
what happened to the turtles?
I think that we are to assume that they saved everybody because they saved that thing. I assumed that those animals didn't actually live there forever. That this was part of it. They pour the cereal back there first, and then I think they like. Ceremoniously give a gecko a home in it. I don't know. I thought it was sweet.
Eat the breakfast out of the car all the time. Either they just did some crazy stuff.
I'm on the Adams. All right, you don't have to listen to the Adams, but if it's a Doug and an Adam, you have to listen. and me and Adam Alexander are always right.
Wait, and so I'm not crazy. Trip and Jenna, you guys caught the fact that they put turtles in the console, and then those turtles were never referenced again.
They were never referenced again. Yeah, turtle soup.
Yeah, that was... I it's kind of like if your parents stop the Old Yeller before it ends. So you don't know the Old Yeller gets killed. I'm going to live with that lifestyle and just assume that those turtles... Like, the fact that he saves the gecko is like a blanket action to represent savior of all... Not just all animals in that car. All geckos are straight forever. They're never going to get... Nothing's ever happened to geckos.
But it wasn't a gecko. It was a chameleon.
I'm sorry.
These directors are getting so much shit for not showing one shot of pulling turtles out of a car. I thought about it, though. That was the first
time. I did.
So did I.
What happened to the turtles?
I thought.
I definitely thought about it.
I don't think it's the kind of video where you look for a continuity errors. Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I think you always look. No.
Well, if you establish the turtle character, you got to have some resolution. What happened to the turtle? Is he just sitting there in the? Because they crushed the car.
Fucking love the turtle. I still love the video too. But yeah, you're right. I had an emotional attachment to the turtle, and they don't tell me what happens to it. Let's talk about another thing I have an emotional attachment to, and that's the crazy stuffed animal in the "Girl Got a Gun" video. By Tokyo Hotel, another video that I staff picked that sounds like Adam Fairholme is upset with that I did. So, Adam Fairholme, why don't you tell us about this video?
First of all, I'm not upset that you staff picked it. It's just that this week, and I think everybody on this podcast will agree, like usually we're talking about like Ariana Grande videos and like Iggy Azalea, and now we're talking about a stuffed man in an elephant costume that has a full-on penis that shoots ping pong balls. I mean, it's just a very different turn that we've taken.
That was brilliant.
It is brilliant, and that is not a man in a suit. That is a thing in this video.
Living creature.
That's a creature. That's a creature that does these things in real life.
And what video was this again? This is the Say Lou Games for Girls. Yeah.
No, this is Tokyo Hotel. Girl Got a Gun.
There is no real plot to this, but it takes place in the American West, I believe.
Maybe the South.
Yeah, maybe the South. But yeah, there is a elephant creature with a large penis with testicles and everything that shoots shoots ping pong balls out of its
junk.
It was junk. There we go. Thank you. Guys are helping me along here, which is nice.
And he's got an angry girlfriend. He dumps her with a note. He dumps her with a note, and then her and her friends fucking get him back for being a dick in like a really epic, colorful.
Wow, I did not get that at all.
Oh, you missed that scene? Oh, yeah, there's a plot here. I was like, what do you mean there's no plot? So she, there's like a note on the girl's door that said, like, I'm dumping you or we're breaking up or something. And then she, they go find him and fucking murder him, which is like a weird turn from like being...
They're,
like,
they're maybe, they're kind of like alien-like ladies.
Alien-like ladies. They're, yeah, they're colorful.
I'm a fan of the ladies.
The ladies, oh, yeah, are very powerful, and it's like animated GIF style. Although I don't, right, know if they actually did it or if it's or if they're glitching the footage. I think maybe both.
I think they were glitching the footage. I feel like, but it looked good.
Yeah,
yeah. I honestly just like the. I mean, this is like one of those videos. I feel like the actual like way that they shot everything made it is like what made it rad, like that every shot was, you know, I think every isn't like almost every shot in that video is like super locked still, off,
yeah,
and then there's like some kind of motion taking place and like every shot was totally composed to where, you know, everything in the background was like perfectly balanced. I don't know, there was some kind of way that all of that worked together that I thought made the videos, you know, super memorable. I mean, I kind of feel like if it was, you know, shot in, you know, like another way, it maybe would have just been one of those videos you would have skimmed over, but the fact that kind of how they executed everything looked, I thought, really brought it all together.
Right.
Yeah, and that's, I think that, I think you needed that, or else it would look, feel like this is a guy in a suit, but because of, yeah, how composed everything is, it's like, okay, like, because of how real this, this world feels almost, or deliberate it feels, and like, this is also a real thing. And this is one of those videos, directed, edited, produced, and shot all by the same guy, Chris Moyes, who obviously is a fucked up dude. Cause this,
well, you know how for a lot of people they are, there's that famous thing I think Alfred Hitchcock said when he said a lot of people have told him that they can see the knife going into, I can't remember the actress's name, in the shower scene in Psycho, when that never actually happens. It's all through the editing. And I feel like with this video, I feel like in my head I can see the ping pong ball coming out of the that creature's penis, when I'm sure it never actually happened. I'm sure it's just the skill of the editing.
It's your imagination. Let's bring this to what you want to happen. Let's, since you're complaining that we're not talking about Ariana Grande or pop videos, let's talk about a pop video. Let's talk about All About You by Our Girl and Yours, Hilary Duff, directed by Declan Whitebloom. We said that some nice things, but we also had some criticisms of the last Hilary Duff video. Do we have the same criticisms of this one?
Well, before we should say anything, we should say that Declan Whitebloom has been on this podcast.
We should say that, and makes fantastic music videos.
Makes fantastic pop music videos, usually with a female lead, such as Hilary Duff, where he's made several fantastic Taylor Swift videos, including We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together Again. And I think the first thing people might notice about this video is the product placement, because there is a lot of, yeah, cell phone product placement toward the beginning. I don't know. If you're gonna, what's that?
She loves that phone. She shows everyone.
Yeah, but in terms of product placement, I think this was done pretty well. If you're gonna do it, you gotta embrace it. I feel like, why hide it? You know.
I agree. Why have it blend in? Because then the advertiser's not gonna like that.
Well, I'm sure they're gonna like it, but I mean, you know, there's no hiding at the beginning of this video that it is. It's basically, I mean, there are certain things that look like a commercial for a phone in the beginning of this video, which is fine. I mean, videos have to pay for themselves. I mean, we have that great Joel Cafali commentary on the Katy Perry "This Is How We Do" video, where when the Skype little thing comes up, where Katy Perry is video calling someone, you know, Joel Cafali says, "There's Skype paying the bills." I mean, you got to pay the bills somehow.
Yeah. So what did you think, though, of the style and the vibe and what we thought about this video for Hilary Duff? Because we get to say that kind of thing.
Jenna and Trippy, have you guys seen a Hilary Duff video before this one?
Yeah. Yep. I'm a Hilary Duff fan. I mean, I used to watch Lizzie McGuire, so... but yeah, I actually kind of like this one. It was it's a pop video, but I think, you know, she looked really good, and I think I, I I just feel like they pulled off a pop video well, so I don't know. I don't know if there's much to say, but I liked it for what it was.
This video felt really... Did anybody feel like it was dark? Just looked dark?
Yeah, I could see that.
And they're also filming at... And you guys are in LA, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They're filming at this location that I see constantly in music videos. Like this giant, like... reservoir kind of area. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the LA River.
That's our beautiful river.
Oh, really? Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
This reservoir.
I think it's in Greece, too.
Yeah. It
seems like a popular cool. film location, though.
It
yeah,
is.
It's
yeah,
it's in Drive. It's in a whole bunch of
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, Drive, Greece.
It's everywhere.
Every 20th music video.
And now All About You by Hilary Duff.
But I think the darkness also, Adam, if it might be coming from the maybe just because comparatively to Chasing the Sun, which is her last video, which is like incredibly bright and rich, and this one is definitely, you know, a lot more like darker and a little bit more washed out. So it's definitely got that look. Our complaints of the last Hilary Duff video was that if I recall, were that the video hadn't matured much from her previous kind of run at being a pop star, which was several years prior. This video definitely feels more grown up than the last one, right? Even though that video shows her like in an office environment and stuff. Like this feels like a pop video for a pop artist her age who's trying to appeal to the audience that she's appealing to, right?
Right.
Sure.
I agree.
And Adam, hold on. Alexander.
Does Amazon have a phone?
I asked the exact same question.
Yeah, maybe this is advertising in motion because I had no clue that
nice.
I knew they had the Kindle Fire, right? Or the Kindle,
yep.
Amazon Kindle.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's also that could be the name of our podcast. Does Amazon have a phone?
Amazon has a phone. Yeah, I mean, what do you guys normally think of like product placement in videos? I mean, I kind of feel like I think it was the. I could be wrong. Was it the Wiz Khalifa video? It was like Weed and Boys or something that they had the product placement of that, like, I guess it was like that speaker, the iPod player or something.
The Beats player.
Yeah, the Beats player. Yeah. And it was like, I liked the fact that they just got it out of the way in like the first shot. It was like the first shot, you just see the player and then that's over with. And then they just start the whole video. Like
that...
I feel like if I had to do product placement, I mean that would be one of my approaches, would be just stick it in the beginning or stick it in the end really quick and then just get over it.
The interesting thing about that video is I believe that product placement is the reason that video has cuts. So what happens is it starts on Wiz Khalifa, like it's a Steadicam shot. Wiz Khalifa there, and then they cut to a close up of the phone in his hand, and then it cuts back to what appears to be that same Steadicam shot, and then it's one shot for like 3 minutes straight.
Yeah,
which is that shot again, and then at the very end of the video, it has additional cuts too, which I think that they just put in there because they were like, well, fuck it, we got to cut to this product placement. Like it seemed like that was something that came later. I don't know. I'm speculating now, but it's interesting that's the one that you use. I definitely think for pop videos that particularly Wiz Khalifa and Hilary Duff and Katy Perry that you gotta almost expect some kind of product placement in there for at least
Miley
Beats.
Cyrus.
Yeah, Miley Cyrus too. And anyone affiliated with Interscope, obviously, but as well. I'm not surprised by that stuff. I do think as the video starts to get more artistic and you start to look for more artistic merit in a video, I think sometimes product placement could end up sticking out more. But for the pop stuff, shove it in there.
Well, there was that news, I can't remember if it was this week or last week, kind of a rumor that leaked out because, you know, Apple bought Beats, and there's a rumor that they were going to shut down Beats Music and the whole Beats brand, basically. And that was quickly refuted by Apple, but for an hour there, I had a sinking feeling in my stomach because I was like, well, shit, Beats, like, it's in almost every pop music video we see. It's sort of like, you know, in, what's that movie, Inception, like a totem, like I always look for the cell phone that's making the, you know, the Beats playlist, or like the Beats pill from like the Miley Cyrus We Can't Stop video. It's kind of just always there. And I know other brands have trying to kind of experimented with it, but Beats is the one brand that's really kind of laid into it. And you know,
it's easy to work in. It's a music video. You can work in a pair of headphones or a cell phone, you know, and the music player, especially, like, you see so many music videos where they just use that as a device to start the music.
What's that Chris Martin's Polaro video? Break Free by Ariana Grande, yeah. Where like the last third of the video is basically a commercial for Beats headphones.
Beats everywhere. It's when it's a different product that it also starts to stand out. I remember if there was a string of music videos that had plenty of fish product placements in there.
Oh, yeah. And it would just be like... Telephone by Lady Gaga has that.
Yeah. Name. You'd just be like a DJ at a DJ booth, like jamming, and then it like cuts to a reverse shot of his computer, and it's got plenty of fish up instead of like some thing that uses to pick music. So look for that. Plenty of fish.
It's plenty of fish to learn.
Yeah, the phone in this video is the Amazon Fire.
Mind blown.
They have a phone.
That's great.
That's advertising great in motion.
Great for
what
them.
What is its like function? Does it just buy things easier or what?
Yeah, Audible.
The fully functional phone. It doesn't. It's like it's not an Android. It's not an iPhone. It's an Amazon Fire.
It's an Amazon phone. Weird. Okay.
And there's one. Yeah, there's one button and it just buys shit.
Yeah, it's just
it just buys you shit.
They bought up all the Motorola chocolates and repurposed them as Amazon phone. Let's squeeze in before we got to take off because I got to finish packing to go to Adam Alexander's house. Let's talk about games for girls.
He's got bagel bites.
Tim Horton bagel bites. All right, fine. I'll end my boycott of Burger King just to eat the bagel bites. Games for Girls by Say Lulu featuring Lindstrom, directed by Dimitri Basel and co-directed by Laura Gorun. This is a great video, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I loved it.
For sure. I think part of it is awesome. And another component of it maybe doesn't work quite as well for me. So
let's talk about that. What doesn't work for you?
I want to hear about that now.
Okay, well, I'll just set it up real quick. So basically, the video is the girls from Say Lulu. They go around. I'm not sure what city they're in. They're European, so I'm not sure where they are. But
they're in Bjorg.
Okay, so. Basically, it's they're gonna go around and do like these practical jokes of some type, and the part of the video that
social experiments.
Okay, so the part of the video that works well for me is that like just basically shooting these girls like, and the way that they've shot the scenes of the girls, it looks like really amazing. Like that part of it worked really well for me, but the whole practical joke thing kind of. It fell flat for me because I didn't really find the gags.
Because it's not practical jokes. It's social experiments. Those are different things.
Like, explain it. What are they doing exactly? I might have missed something. They make a bust. They put it in a museum. For what purpose?
They're social. They're like placing themselves. They put up a billboard of themselves. They snuck their record in a record store. And it wasn't. They weren't practical. They weren't practical jokes. This isn't the scary snowman on YouTube.
Okay, I just need some more context. Whether it's practical jokes or not, what were they trying to? What reaction were they trying to culminate by doing these things?
Get their presence into these places. Well, at least is what I thought they were after.
Okay, so.
Is that what everyone else pulled from it? Whose team is everyone on?
I just didn't get part of it. That's all.
I feel like if they didn't put that text in the beginning, I wouldn't have thought about it so much. I would have been like, "Oh, this video doesn't feel like it fits in any sort of category." I love it because it all feels totally fresh, and I can't even put my finger on what I like about it.
Yeah, they had so many great shots of the girls. It was just so
loose.
And
I didn't really get what the point of it was. But then when they put the text before it, you're kind of like, I was looking for some kind of, when I read that thing in the beginning, I was like, okay, this is some kind of like, what, like candid camera jackass sort of video. Then I was like, wait, where is... I don't understand what I'm supposed to be looking for.
I forgot about that.
But it did make me... I don't know, but it did kind of put me in a mindset immediately that I was, like, waiting for something. I totally get your confusion. Yeah. But I think it was successful in that because it immediately was like, ooh, what am I going to watch here? And then...
Maybe never came to fruition.
Maybe that was the point. I don't know.
Well, the exotic European city that they were traveling around is Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that
was
LA.
It's totally LA.
Right. This is exotic European city.
Yeah, they were in Amoeba.
Exotic European downtown LA.
I was wondering when you guys said like European, I'm pretty sure that was Los Angeles.
They just think that because his name is Dimitri, and they're like, well, this has got to be European. It's because it's also how it's shot. It's very like, as all Dimitri and Laura's videos are, and they're all fantastic. The Vantage Joy, Riptide, Flight Facilities, Foreign Language, all really, really good videos. They all are styled very similar to this. And it's just like I said, like a very washed out, and like the styling of everybody's clothes is like super cool and something that I could never wear, cause I'm not a lady. And, but like retro styles in everybody's clothing. And, so that's why it feels European. I don't know.
Yeah, no, totally. 70s European or something.
Yeah.
When I think of like Norway or whatever, all I think about is like the ABBA video for Take a Chance on Me, where they're sitting in like 70s, like in a room with 70s furniture, listening to an 8-track or I don't know, some sort of record. Anyway. But yeah, it would have been kind of funny if like one of these quote unquote social experiments in the middle was like just like a terrible prank. Like having like handing somebody like a jar that says like peanuts or something and opening it and it's like the snakes fly out
right everywhere. or like the gum that snaps your finger
or somebody somebody getting stuck in a Chinese fire you know right. Chinese finger trap.
That's
hold on, Adam Alexander, if you had to pick one practical joke for this, what would it be?
Adam
Alexander would be the hand buzzer, just a guy running around trying to shake people's hands, buzzing away, or the flower that squirts water.
I was a fan of the can of snakes.
Yeah, can of snakes is pretty classic. Guy, yeah,
let's stop. Okay, that's fun. We're gonna, as much as I like the new Drop New York music video, it's animated and fun. I think that one gets that one gets bumped off the show till next week.
Should we do some favorites of the week?
Yeah, we can go around the table, go around the dinner table, and everyone say their favorite music video of the week. So anyway, Adam Alexander.
I'm drawing a blank right now, but I did like Yell's video from today for Complètement Fou. That was a fun one for sure, as their videos usually are. Especially, I like the giant corn on the cob that she rides.
I haven't seen that video, and you just piqued my interest.
Cool.
Wait, hold on. Giant corn, is it like in space, or is it just in the atmosphere?
Well, it's space-like. It's not actually in space, but it's stationary, but it looks like it could fly. It doesn't.
Nice.
Yeah, so that would be one of the notable ones for me this week.
Jenna, do you have a favorite one this week?
From the ones that we were talking about, I know that this is weird, but my favorite one is the Tokyo Hotel one. I like that one, so that was what I'm going with.
Yeah, I was a fan as well. I thought the composition.
I actually like the styling the best.
Yeah,
that's what
the
I like.
Styling and like the composition of everything. I don't know. It just burnt some kind of like like thing in my brain. Like watching it. I don't know. I just remembered it. You know. So
when you said something weird, I thought you were gonna say the Lil Wayne video.
Oh no. Well, I mean that elephant thing is kind of weird, but it was good. Weird, I guess.
Sweet.
So Fair I'm going to put you guys down for two votes for elephant ejaculating ping pong balls. Okay. No, I definitely agree. There, that out of all the videos, like, and you're right, Trip. That like the composition is, some of those shots are beautiful.
Yeah, it's true.
Locations are rad too. I mean, it's especially. I mean, I also like. I mean, I know Jen and I come from a background of just like doing everything ourselves, and I like the fact that guy just went out and produced and shot and edited, you know, an elephant, some kind of character.
Wonder where they got that costume made.
Yeah, and I just think of that dude out there doing it all himself, and I totally feel for him, and he did a damn good job too. So yeah, I like
it's those. A very visceral genitals that are on this elephant.
Go ahead, Trip.
Oh, I was just going to say that all the characters reminded me of some kind of some random character you'd see dancing around in Jabba the Hutt's palace. You know? Some shit.
For me, 4 votes, Girl Got a Gun. If anyone's ever seen Tim and Eric live, especially what they did while they were touring with Awesome Show, they did this. They would open the show with this bit where they would wear these skin-tight suits with these giant dicks on them that looked just like a dick on that, and they would just scream diarrhea over and over again in a song. Diarrhea! And they'd have these weird dicks flopping around, and it's very similar to that. So now you have now you know what that's like, seeing Tim and Eric live. It's insane. So that'll do it. That's this episode. 120.
All right. Oh, I guess nobody wants to know what my favorite is.
No, you said.
What did I say?
You said Girl Got a Gun.
No, I didn't say that.
No, you did. I have you down for that.
All right, fine. No, but my real favorite is New Dorp, New York. But anyway.
That is your favorite? Really?
That's my favorite, yeah.
You dropped your favorite off the show. Well, then tell us a little bit about it.
Well, this artist has an unpronounceable name, so not even...
Alexander.
It's Subtract.
Subtract, there we go. But featuring Ezra Canning from Vampire Weekend, who, for some reason, there are certain bands that I really associate with certain places, and especially with their latest album, Modern Vampires of the City. A lot of their songwriting is focused on New York as a place that Doug is moving to tomorrow.
Hey!
Oh, damn, brilliant.
Yeah, he's heading up there from South Florida.
Oh, my God.
This song has him featured, but he's the main vocalist on it. I love this track, and I think that the animation kind of, it follows this kind of like fox-like creature kind of crawling over these really industrial ruins. Settings. And it's a difficult to describe video, but I think it's really beautiful, and I love animated videos. So when I saw this come out, and it's directed by Fonz Schneiden. So there we go. Yeah, check it out.
And also the creature in the video is the creature on the cover of their new album too.
Yeah.
So that's more info.
Subtract?
Yeah.
Subtract. Adam's favorite band. He's known about him forever.
Yeah, it's a great track. I liked it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, I think we covered it. We talked about all the fucked up videos this week, as well as the awesome videos. Jen and Tripp, thank you for joining us on this podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been great.
And like we mentioned, if you guys want, hold on a second.
If you want to find us on the internet.
No, hold on a second. Okay. And like we mentioned, if you guys want to check out all the links from this episode, including the video we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, Ropes by Annie Eve, you can go to imvdb.com/podcast, and this is episode 125. And just a shout out to Mr. Doug Klinger, who is moving to New York City from Pompano Beach, Florida. We're going to get a little more street cred from this podcast. Doug is moving up there. And like we mentioned last episode, the podcast will continue on a weekly basis. Congratulations to Doug. He's moving up there to start an awesome new job with none other than Vimeo.com.
Yay!
Yeah.
Enjoy, dude.
Sweet.
We'll see you guys next week.